Hey everybody, welcome back to Simply Soccer. I am your host, Michelle Hootink, joined today by my one and only co-host, Christian Conway.
I'm available for goalkeeper if they need anyone. I'm not great with my hands, but I could figure it out if need be.
Just throw your whole body into it. Where's Mike McGee when you need him? Who knew that Klinsmann's finger would have got messed up in Portland because he certainly didn't make it seem like it. And then post-match, he was like, I'm so excited to have a chance. And I was excited to have him in goal, actually. You know, if you don't have Bond, I mean, Klinsmann steps up. And, you know, then I see that we're looking for a new keeper and sign someone. And then I'm reading that Cervantes is going to be getting the start tomorrow, most likely. Makes sense, right? When all the paperwork has to be done.
And P1 visas are incredibly tedious, difficult things. If you've ever been around a visa process, you know it's about as much fun as pulling teeth or, going through barbed wire. I'm excited to see Cervantes get the start tomorrow. In terms of the Bond thing, or the Klinsmann thing, excuse me. Adrenaline's a hell of a drug, and I think if you watch the highlights back where he takes that challenge, I might have been Nishkoda, I can't remember who kind of puts that boot in. You can tell he's not well, but a good luck telling a goalkeeper he's not going to finish a game. I mean, that draw against Portland though, whew, at times that was the word I'd use is plotting at best. I mean, the Galaxy were precocious. They were, they had their opportunities. They hit the post what, four times. Preston Judd with that fantastic chance in the 13th minute. They get that really amazing free kick from, I think it was Brugman. But I mean, just, oh God, it's not good in Galaxy Land right now, is it?
Well, like that's the thing, right? Like we always try to maintain optimism on this show, and I'm like, all right, what? How should I lead in to the positives, right? But it's obviously led with frustration. I mean, the Galaxy have possession, they have passing, they have clean sheets. The front office or whoever's in charge of media, I guess, is calling this an unbeaten streak. Okay. Talk about overtaking the optimism. Did I mention clean sheet? Because I feel like they have 100 times. Kosha's gonna be available for Seattle, and the Galaxy have had control against Portland for 70 to 80 minutes. Yeah, Cascadia has its own reputation, but Portland is not the Timbers that we're used to. And if you're not going to score against Portland, then who? When? Because yes, I understand we had chances. Yes, that they hit the post, and Ricky Puig is is going for Golasso, and I'm sure that he'll get it if he keeps knocking. I'm not confident in this team, and I'm not sure that they're consistent is the thing, right? I mean, what we know is that they can't get behind the net. Raheem Edwards, okay, so he tallied a game high 16 possessions won and tied for a game high 10 duels won. But he's so hit or miss a lot of the times. You're just like, I root for the guy. I obviously vouch for him, but there's so many things where you're just like, okay, what is going on?
The
Where are
most,
these goals going to come from?
yeah,
Yeah.
the most damning stat to me that I just read, which is there have been six total goals in Galaxy games this year, two scored, four conceded, one fewer than Jordan Morris has managed on his own for Seattle. Like, I mean, that tells you something. Now, I think there was a lot here that I really liked. And I think when you look at a lot of the passages of play, okay, you can see kind of a concept, you can see an idea, they're using Riqui Puig. And having Brugman kind of sit next to him as the facilitator. So Brugman's the shield, Puig is the creator. That works. I like that idea. The problem is, as I've said it multiple times, and you could quote me on this, set your watch to it. The Galaxy don't have a 10 goal, 10 assist guy on the wing. So what happens is, and I don't think Preston Judd was particularly bad in this game. I actually was really impressed by him. I mean, 20.
Yes, I was just gonna say, yeah, he was very impressive, and I think he needs to be given the chances. I understand everybody was saying, oh, but this was his big chance. Why didn't he score? Look, Like, look at the state of the team right now. Look what you're asking for.
I was going to say, look at the framework around him. He didn't have a good framework. And maybe Tyler Boyd is the answer. Maybe Tyler Boyd finally, you know, gets his feet under him, figures it out, and everything's great. Maybe Douglas Costa comes back this weekend and is all of a sudden the Bayern Munich Juventus Douglas Costa that we were promised and sold on. I don't think that's going to be the case. It's just they don't get a lot of creation outside of Chicharito and Puch. That's it. And so when one of those is down or one of those is getting marked out of the game, which is what we saw in this game against Portland, I mean, you kind of run into a little bit of a problem here. And I understand things are a little tense right now in general. But I mean, man, like if there was a team for the taking, it was Portland, right? I mean, they defensively are not that great. You know, you start a new left back in Caligari, who I thought was pretty good, earned his first yellow card and earned it pretty well. But you know, that's the thing is that we've talked about this Galaxy team for so long, right? Is that they create high percentage opportunities and yet they don't finish them. And good, again, as I've always said, good teams create opportunities, great teams finish them. And it's not like being reliant on one player to finish them. It's everyone in the team being like, hey, we're creating great opportunities. Let's all start finishing them. And the problem is that we're now looking at a midfield that looks at Puch, and Puch is like, okay, I'll just ping one from 20 and we'll see what happens. Like, that can't be reliable and that cannot be sustainable. We can't rely on Golazos every weekend, right? Like, you need to create pathways in order for the team to consistently get in moments of high success. But then you need people other than Chicharito, Jovalich, whoever, to finish them. And they just don't have that. And that's a frustration for me because that was the point of this whole entire offseason window, right? Which was you get rid of Cabral, you try to bring in a winger that can actually do that. Tyler Boyd might be the answer. I don't know. Jury is still out on that. You bring in Memo Rodriguez, who I thought was really good in this game. But again, they just don't have another guy. They have the guy, which is what we've been talking about since 2018 when Zlatan Ibrahimovic showed up, but they don't have another guy. And the thing about it is with great teams in MLS, they have the other guy. They have multiple other guys. I mean, I'd point to Atlanta, you know, with Thiago Almada, you know, like they have so many good players there. We have the guy and that's it. And I think we saw in Portland the threadbare nature of what we're dealing with right now. Now, yes, injuries are a thing. The Galaxy are dealing with some pretty serious injury issues right now. I mean, goalkeeper, as we've talked about in our intro, that's going to be a conversation moving forward because them signing that Serbian goalkeeper today, I apologize, his name escapes me, that indicates they got news about Jonathan Klinsmann and Jonathan Bond that is not great. So therefore, you kind of have to improvise in the moment. But I do think this was a game for the taking, and they just never got there.
Well, and then the last 10 minutes of the match against Portland, it was complete chaos. I really was like amazed. Not in a good way, like amazed at the Galaxy got a clean sheet.
They held on in that last 10 minutes. I don't disagree. I mean, they held on.
Yeah, and then I just decided for fun, because I'm not a betting person, but I just decided to Google LA Galaxy versus Seattle and why the Galaxy have a 44% win probability, 27% draw, and 29% Sounders. Is that just because we're at home? Like, statistically, the chances go up?
I mean, MLS is a home-heavy league in the sense that home teams are usually generally favored. So I would guess that's the case, but that is a very surprising line for me.
Yeah, especially when you're looking at how Seattle is doing, and not just Seattle, straight up Jordan Morris. I mean, he's on fire. He's probably going to be up for Golden Boot.
I agree 110%. And I think there's the stat that I point to is the Sounders are unbeaten in 9 straight matches against the Galaxy and have suffered defeat just once in the last 16 meetings dating back to July 2016. No other team has gone unbeaten in 10 straight MLS matches against the Galaxy. Like, they have our number. I want to go back to the Portland game really quickly because I want to point to some positives that I saw. Preston Judd really took the moment, and I was really impressed by him. he should have scored that goal. What was it, in the 18th minute or the 13th minute? But I really appreciated his facilitation, the way that he looked at the game, was able to operate in the game, was really able to figure things out. I do like this concept of pinning Brugman alongside Pooch as like a, I don't want to say it's a shield, but like a little bit of kind of like a 1-2 facilitator kind of role. I think that was a really good idea. They did a really good job of getting pretty high on the wings. I like what I saw from Caligari. There's a lot here that I like. It's just, again, we constantly point to this idea that it's a nebulous set of concepts that doesn't have an end vision. And there's a lot here that there's a lot of good, but they need to, I guess, if we're going to talk in a writing context, I know, Michelle, because you're an English teacher, you're going to appreciate this metaphor. This is the student handing in the first draft, right? There's a lot there, but we need to start whittling it down to what are we really looking at? And the problem is that between, and I think, and I said this on Discord to someone earlier today, it does feel like the Galaxy are just throwing darts at a dartboard and trying to figure out as they go along. That to me reeks of two different things. One, it reeks to me of insecurity. Two, it reeks to me of desperation. Those are two things that, you know, if we're at the end of the year and we're trying to get in the playoffs and it's just, you're just trying everything to get in there, I'm cool with that. The problem is we're 3 weeks into the season. And that's my concern here, which is that they go into this game, a game that they should have won. I mean, anyone who watched that, a team that goes 4 times off the post, you have those days in the office. I get it. We all aren't perfect. You know, it happens. How many Galaxy games have we watched? How many soccer games in general have you watched where it's just like, man, they should have scored. Man, they should have scored. Man, they should have scored. But at this point in time, with the amount of pressure that's around the Galaxy, they could not have afforded that performance. And I know I played the Eternal Optimist. I get it. I have a lot of concerns right now because this was a Portland team that was severely wounded, that Gio Savarese, there's a ton of questions around his coaching tenure right now. They needed to go out there and win this game. And
well, not, yeah, and not to mention the international break. I mean, you're not going to get a bigger break than this.
Yeah, they needed to go out there and win this game, and they didn't do it. And that's my concern, and that's why I'm trying to be the optimist on this. I mean, going off the post 4 times, like, I mean, you're going to have those days. I get it. But I struggle to take a lot of that Portland game.
Yeah, I find it very hard to... okay, well, back to your draft analogy, right? To be fair, with all the factors and things to be considered, I did see improvement with the LA Galaxy against this Portland team. So if we're evaluating them, the thing is, I also feel like there's a lot of new Galaxy blood, whether they're young, whether these guys just join. I mean, it's amazing to me Preston Judd could go 90 minutes, that Caligari could go 90 minutes the way that they did and still hold on, like you said. I think that those are very good takeaways to be had. You know, there is an El Tráfico this month looming, right? And just being at home against Seattle, who you're just watching dominate, it is. I have a ticket for tomorrow. It is. I mean, I'm tired of draws, but at this point, it's like, let's just keep getting them for now. And then, you know, we keep hoping for the summer window, right? I mean, I don't know. We keep hoping that in 4 weeks we'll get Bond back. We keep hoping that Chicharito is going to be well soon. I mean, there's a lot of hope and things going on, but yeah, the Galaxy were bitten by the injury bug this season. And I mean, the guys that are on the pitch, at least they do seem like they're playing with heart. They are trying to step it up. It's just, I mean, there's just factors that just aren't clicking still.
And maybe, you know, I'm being a little more doom and gloom than I need to be, but I mean, there are data points here that I I like. I mean, the possession number, and again, I know I always say that possession is the most meaningless stat, but 67% possession on the road is pretty impressive, considering the fact that, you know, Portland was wounded. They wanted to really go out there and make a statement in front of their fans. There's also another good data point here that I really like, which is that, you know, LA hasn't lost any of its last 8 home matches. It's longest from beat and run since a 10-match run in 2018. So they'll get home, they'll play Seattle. Maybe things will be a little bit better. But again, there's things here where I'm just like...
I mean, look, it's not easy to play Portland away in there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like over there. I can't remember who it was, but I read or maybe it was Jamie. Somebody was like, just Portland, put the chainsaw away.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is, you know, again, I agree with you that the injury bug has been a significant issue this year, but it does feel like Vinny has a concept and an idea, but he doesn't have the players for it. And I've felt like a lot of times it's just putting round pegs in square holes. I like a lot of the pickups we made. I mean, Caligari is going to be really interesting. They've got that kid from Argentina who's going to come in on the other side. That's going to really help loosen things out. You know, I just, there are so many moments in that Portland game where I'm like, this should work and it doesn't. And a lot of my questions around the Galaxy right now are questions I don't like asking, which are, well, what if X happens? And then I want to be able to respond, well, then Y will happen. Except now it's just, what if X happens? Well, we can hope that Y will happen, but, you know, and that's the problem there for me.
Yeah. I know that the boycott is still going on. Are they planning their third protest? I'm pretty sure. You know, so it is a really hard time for this team right now. And I just really hope that obviously that they can win somehow tomorrow. But I mean, it's just looking bleak with Jordan Morris there. And I mean, and well, Seattle overall, right?
Let's,
man, there's going to be yellow cards flying. I don't know.
Oh no. I mean the Galaxy are going to get stuck in tomorrow. I have no questions in my mind about that. I do think there is some good here. I think Rikki Puch, in terms of the way that he dropped into the midfield and found the game every now and then, I think if he can keep doing that, that's going to be really helpful for the Galaxy, because I think Seattle has trouble tracking deep lying midfielders. I also think Seattle, they're going to have Lodero kind of sitting up a little bit on that left hand, right hand side, just kind of trying to find the game. I have a feeling that Vanny's going to task one of Delgado or Brugman to just be on him the entire day. That can work. Like, that is how you beat Seattle, is that you just basically take Lodero out of the game and then force everyone to figure it out from there. I don't know about the Roldan brothers in terms of how much involvement they're going to have, considering they were at camp. But we will see. I do also think the fact that the Galaxy are coming home, the Galaxy love playing at Dignity Health Sports Park, regardless if the fans are there or not. And, you know, the protest is another spurious conversation that we could be here for hours about. I do think they're going to get a good chance here, because everything I saw against Portland, I was like, I think we were texting in the group chat, it's just like, they just need that one moment, right? Like, they just need that one moment and everything's going to start clicking. They haven't gotten it yet. And I think they could get it against Seattle, but I will offer the statistic, which I think actually explains a lot about Greg Vanney's LA Galaxy and my frustration with Greg Vanney's LA Galaxy, which is, they've 12 crosses completed on 73 crosses attempted. That's not good. Crossing accuracy, 16.4%. That indicates to me that you're getting into low percentage opportunities. You're just huffing the ball into the box and hoping someone gets on the end of it. That works if you've got Chicharito, right? Because he's the ultimate poacher. We know that. Doesn't work if you don't have a winger that can do 10-10, right? Like, it just doesn't work. They need to be a lot smarter about the way they structure the offense. And I think they're going to be, but it's just, again, I point to this concept of the draft idea, right? Like, it's there. You can see it. It just lacks a focal point. And that's the problem, is that they relied too much on Chicharito to provide that focal point. I can see where they're thinking. I can understand it. I mean, it's usually just sit the winger high and then have the wingbacks pin up behind them and then see what happens. Press into the opposition half and then just use that kind of bubble of pressure to then win moments of transition, get into the attacking third, unseat the defense, get Pooch running into space, which generally yields good things, as we've seen. But they're just not, it just feels stop and start. And again, that's partially due to injury, but that's also, and also partially due to the fact that there's a lot of moving parts here in the sense they're bringing in new players. But I still just don't feel good about tactically what I'm seeing.
I want to see less predictability from the Galaxy. I feel like you could just see where everybody's looking, and then we expect them not to do well, right? Like that now is becoming like, oh, you see FRE and you're just like, oh, why can't he just make it? You know, and then you're like yelling at dudes to take shots. You're just like, for the love of God, you know? And then you're like watching them, like I said, at least you're seeing them try. but you can't get climb the table this way, not without goals. And so we'll have to see what's gonna happen. Happy Zlatan Day, everyone.
Oh yeah, it is 4-3 today. I will say, I think they can take the Sounders. I watched the highlights of the Kansas City Seattle Sounders game. Kansas City was pretty dire on the day. I think the Galaxy were a little bit better than they were. It's just a question of, can they get themselves into high leverage positions, which I think they can. And that's the issue, is that they do get themselves into high leverage positions. They just don't finish. They've got to be a lot better about getting into high leverage positions and finishing them. I'm interested to see how that looks. I also do think this is going to be a little bit of a different challenge, because if I've known Portland, and I know Portland fans, and I appreciate Portland fans for putting up the Klein Out banner and all the rest of it, Portland under Gio Savarese, it's a bar fight, and they are more than happy to break the bar stool behind your back. I mean, there was, what, 7 cards in this game or something like that? I mean, it was a bar fight. It's not going to be that way against Seattle. Schmetzer's a little bit more, for lack of a better term, elegant. So they're going to get a little bit more time, a little bit more space. Can they take advantage of that? That's my question.
And can the Galaxy take advantage of their set pieces once and for all? Because that was the other frustrating thing. You know, I stopped getting excited every time we had a corner, because it's like, well, nothing comes of those anymore.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because we've got some pretty big center backs. Like, I mean, we've got some big boys on the team. Like, set pieces have always confounded me with the Galaxy, because it's just, we've got some bruisers in there. Like, I know Sega's not either healthy or he's not in favor right now, but I mean, you got some battering rams out there. Like, use them, you know, like, start, you know, again, if we're going to do the 12 crosses completed on 73 crosses attempted kind of thing, might as well use the big boys, right? You know, because I mean, at the end of the day, 6-5 beats, you know, 6-1, and you know, that's a viable strategy. Ask England how, you know, 1960 up to, I don't know, 2014 went.
I was going to say, and it worked for us when we had Gordon.
But exactly, right? Like, you just, as long as you got a big, beautiful, large person flying through the air to get ahead on it, it sometimes works. I will say this. I think the other interesting thing is, because they're crossing from low percentage opportunities, the issue is that the transition defense is the other issue I have in this game. Because what we saw against SKC for the Sounders was that they ate Kansas City alive in transition. Promise the Galaxy are not good in transition defense. And we saw that a lot against Portland. Whenever they cheaply gave away possession, Portland was going downhill the other way as fast as possible. That's going to be something we got to watch tomorrow. I do think the Galaxy are going to be a little bit more expansive, just because it's at home. The field's a little larger. They can work the angles a little bit better. Caligari is going to finally feel a little confident in a Galaxy jersey. He looked a little nervy at times, but you know, it's his first game. He just signed like 3 days before. I get it. It's all good, dude. I also think, you know, hopefully one of Dejan or Chicha's back. Hopefully Dejan. Douglas Costa, as much as I malign him, he's going to add some expansive space with his pace, his ability, his one-on-one dribbling skill. That's going to help us at least a little bit. So there's things where I'm like, okay, we've been looking at a team in the first 3 weeks and we don't have a lot of data points compared to others because we lost a week due to the torrential downpours we've had here. But I do think there are some data points where I'm like, okay, I can see how this is going to work. We've just got to get to that point where it's like, okay, now this works.
Yeah, 100%. And once everybody is better, it'll be, I want to say it'll be like watching a whole other team though. And then it makes you wonder the guys that are getting chances, you know, they're going to disappear to the ethers. But I guess depth is for.
It's going to be a completely different team because they just signed two new outside backs.
One obviously just got out of the country.
Yeah. Alde hasn't even arrived in country. Like, they just signed a new goalkeeper. He's going to take at least a week to bed in. Like, I mean, it's going to look like a different team. And I think with a lot of the signings, they understand that the clock is ticking. April is here. Like, if they don't get everything done by the end of April, it's game over. You know, like, they can't make moves when the transfer window closes. The primary transfer window closes, excuse me. Like, they got to go. That's why they brought in Will Koontz. Like, I mean, I know he's not got a lot of time to work, but they brought him in because he created that monster up the 101. Like, I mean, you know, they do got to move, and they understand that. I think that's why a lot of the moves they've made are, hey, we got to get going.
Yeah, I mean, definitely look, hang in there, LA Galaxy fans. I feel, not to like quote The Weeknd now, but I feel it coming. You said no Taylor Swift.
Really? That's the reference you came up with? Okay, I mean, but again, as I'll say, the one stat that gives me at least a little bit of hope and warmth in my heart is, again, we haven't lost any of the last 8 home matches, win 4, draw 4, including playoffs. So we're good at home. That's comforting. We're not going to ever do another weekend reference again because that was uncomfortable. but I do think, you know, if they can manage that midfield and keep Ladero out of high leverage positions, I do like this Galaxy team in this kind of game. The issue is that they're going to have to keep Nico Ladero out of high leverage positions. That's really tough to do.
And more optimism. We're not the bottom of the table. Sporting Kansas City and Colorado are below us.
I mean, both teams are absolute garbage if you watch them over the past couple of weeks. But
Cabral scored.
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to say Kevin Cabral scoring for Colorado. Wow. I think if they don't, Nico Lodero, what he's so good at is moving around the midfield to pull people out of position. So if you play like a double pivot, you know, midfield, which is what the Galaxy are kind of doing right now between Pooch and Brugman, what Lodero does is look at that and say, okay, cool. I'm going to target one of you and I'm going to pull you out so that you open the space to pass through. You know what I mean? So what the Galaxy are going to have to be really smart about is rotating on Nico Lodero. If they can rotate that midfield so that he doesn't pull that midfield apart, so that Delgado or Brugman or Pooch are like, okay, I'm going to be on him. And then when he moves into like a right channel or a left channel and just be like, okay, hey, you got him, then you can pull him out of the game. And at that point, it's reliant on Jordan Morris to drop deep into the midfield in order to find the game. And if you do that, then you've got a really easy target because you have either a center back or an outside back basically saying, I got him. And at that point, the entire offense is moot at that point. And then the Galaxy can then turn those moments into turnovers, which then turn into moments of attack, which then turn into good things. So I think they can do it as long as they're smart about those two things. There's a lot I saw against Portland that I'm like, this translates very well.
And let's just not give away any penalties because I feel like the Galaxy just really, 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 I got worried during that Portland match.
They rode their luck, I would
say. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Well, thank you for listening. Stay tuned. We'll come at you next week.
Can't wait to see y'all.